Are you ready to make the most of your oil and gas mineral rights? Welcome to the Mineral Rights Podcast. Get the knowledge and resources you need to manage your minerals and royalties. Here is your host, Matt Sands.
Hello and welcome to the Mineral Rights Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Sands, and I'm here to help you make the most of your mineral rights and royalties. Today, I have a special episode for you. In my role as the president of the Colorado chapter of the National Association of Royalty Owners, or NARO, I was invited to be a panelist on a mineral interest owner forum that was held by Great Western Petroleum, who is the largest oil and gas operator in Adams County, Colorado. And the purpose of this forum was to help educate mineral interest owners on the proposed oil and gas regulations in the county that could have a significant impact on future development of our mineral rights. So this episode is a must listen for all Colorado mineral owners, and all mineral owners will pick up useful tips around protecting your private property rights and how to make sure your voice is heard when oil and gas regulations like these are developed. So in this forum, I had an interesting discussion with energy attorney Jamie Jost about private property rights, making sure your voice is heard when oil and gas regulations are developed that could affect the future development of mineral interest. So before we dive into the replay of the discussion, just an important reminder that you'll find links to the information mentioned in this episode in the show notes, which as always can be found at mineralrightspodcast.com. Just look for episode 110. And also, I will be posting the video from this discussion to my YouTube channel. You can just search in YouTube for Matt Sands Mineral Rights, or you can just click on the link in the show notes to be taken to the video replay. So without further ado, here's the replay of the Great Western Petroleum's Adams County Mineral Owner Forum that was held on June 8th, 2021. Hope you enjoy.
Good evening, everybody. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Susan Faharzadeh. I am the Senior Vice President of Sustainability and Government Affairs for Great Western Petroleum. And I just want to express my gratitude to everybody for coming to our Adams County Mineral Interest Owner Forum. I'm going to spend a few minutes on introductions and just talk a little bit about Great Western and why we've invited you to join us here tonight. And then I'll introduce our guests. Really excited to have a couple of experts here to talk about what we're looking at in Adams County with the new rules. If we could go to the next slide, please. So I don't know how familiar a lot of you are with Great Western, but we are, as I like to say, Colorado born and Colorado built. We employ about 120 folks right here. Our headquarters is in downtown Denver. Our field office is up in Longmont, but we are all Coloradans. So we're working and living and breathing the same air and enjoying the same environment that all of our stakeholders do. We're really committed to the environment. We're really committed to our communities, our employees, our service provider, and our stakeholders. Our number one priority is always safety in all of these aspects. And we operate on a series of core values of stewardship. And that, again, is for all of those stakeholders, the environment, our employees included, teamwork. So really working together with our peers and with the communities and our elected officials to ensure that we're all working towards the same goals. Excellence obviously is very important to us as a corporate value, and we're really committed to people. And again, we believe that these types of dialogue opportunities, the people in our company are really important that we get to share and engage and lean in on important issues. And growth and resilience. Resilience was one we actually added to our core values in 2020 as we all faced very unique challenges in the world around us. No matter who you were in some way impacted by the events of the last 15 months, most certainly. We are the primary oil and gas operator in Adams County, Colorado. We only employ about 120 people, so we do a lot with a little. We hold over 70,000 acres of leasehold interest in the state of Colorado between Adams and Weld County. We hold 475 drilling permits, so those are individual wells. Sometimes they're grouped together on a drilling pad. And we produce on average between 50 and 60,000 barrels of oil equivalent every single day. So that's a lot of energy that comes out that folks across our state are using to heat and light their homes, or in this case, air condition their homes on our warm early summer evening and do everything that we do in our communities. Speaking of communities, community partnership is very important to Great Western. We have a dedicated community investment team and we coordinate over 400 hours annually in volunteer projects that are in the areas where we operate. So again, those are primarily focused in Adams County, although sometimes we do projects up in Weld and also in Denver. So just a quick introduction to us, because I think it's really important that you know that we're all people, we're all Coloradans, and we're really, really thrilled to have you here tonight. So thanks again for taking some time. Next slide, please. So really excited to introduce our guests. We have Jamie L. Jost. She is founder and managing shareholder of Jost Energy Law. And Mr. Matthew Sands, he's the president of the National Association of Royalty Owners for the State of Colorado chapter and hosts the Mineral Rights podcast, as well as being a mineral owner and a consultant. We've got a few links here that can take you out to Narrow's website and the Narrow section of the Mineral Rights Forum, and also to Matt's podcast. We'll make this information available to everybody who attends this evening. We're also recording this so that folks who can't maybe come tonight can see it in a future venue. Next slide, please. So I just want to cover a few points before I start engaging our guests, Jamie and Matt. And I think before I do that, I just want to make a few housekeeping things. We are in webinar mode. So if you have a question or input or a comment, please use that Q&A button at the bottom of your screen. I'll be monitoring that while we go through the conversation this evening. It's not really formal, but what we wanted to do is just share some concerns we have with you, the mineral owners, regarding limitations on oil and gas development in Adams County, Colorado, that is occurring right now as the Board of County Commissioners review their oil and gas regulatory rules as allowed and required by Senate Bill 181. The current oil and gas development limitations are going to be increased by amendments to their current regulations as currently proposed. And this could really impact hundreds of thousands of surface acres to be off limits for oil and gas development. And this is determined by the decisions of a very few people. So we're really, really concerned that folks like our mineral owners who we're held accountable to because we have contracts with you, maybe have leased your minerals, and we want to help inform you and help engage you in this dialogue and this conversation with Adams County as we help to be good stewards and good partners in that conversation with regards to how best to regulate oil and gas development in Adams County for all stakeholders and all constituents. Jamie, I think I might invite you to jump in and talk a little bit about the property rights and take the next few bullet points, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to. And thank you to Great Western and to Susan and Natalie, who's on the community relations, for really not only inviting me tonight, but working with our firm and Matt and numerous other operators to try to help mineral interest owners' voices be heard. So really where to start, where Susan left off, is that, as she said, unless changes are made to the Adams County proposed regulations, there will be hundreds of thousands of mineral interest acres, which are real property rights, your real property rights, that will remain undeveloped in Adams County. And this is very concerning, because real property rights mean something. You bought your land, you bought your minerals, or you've had them transferred to you from your family, but they're a right, and they're a right that you have to develop if you want to have those developed, either be a lease or on your own development. And so what we're facing right now is Adams County officials and the staff putting proposed regulations, if they're adopted, in place that will ultimately prohibit, in many instances, mineral interests from being developed within Adams County. And so without forms like this that Great Western puts on, many of the mineral interest owners either don't know this is happening in Adams County, or they really don't know the immediate and detrimental impacts that could occur if those regulations are adopted. So what we're really hoping to provide you tonight, Matt and I are going to have kind of a fireside chat type of conversation, to provide as much information as we can to help you, the mineral interest owner, truly understand what's happening in Adams County, but also really understand that there's avenues to get to Adams County officials and staff to voice those concerns, whether it's through Narrow with Matt, whether it's through an email to the Board of County Commissioners or to other Adams County representatives. We're really here tonight to help you understand that your voice can and should be heard as a protection of your rights. So if I could have the next slide, please. Thank you. Before we get into the more kind of chat situation, I thought I would just run through some of the proposed regulations that are going to affect mineral interest owner rights. First and foremost is that there is an Adams County proposed regulations that basically puts a 2,000-foot setback in place from the property line of any existing resident, platted residential lot, school, future school facility, state licensed daycare, high occupancy building units, think hospitals or other types of institutions like that, environmentally sensitive areas, designated parks, and open spaces. So when you look at the list of items that a oil and gas location has to be 2,000 feet away from the property line, not the actual building or structure, this can leave 2,000 feet of mineral interest potentially undeveloped if a developer such as Great Western can't put a location where it needs to. The other setback that we have concerns with is that the facilities have to be at least 1,000 foot away from a groundwater well that is directly under the influence of surface water. These are called goody wells, and I won't pretend to be a water technically based expert on this, but basically there's certain wells in the state that have been deemed to be protected, and rightfully so, but Adams County is putting a prohibitive 1,000 foot setback on those wells. And again, so if you have the 2,000 foot setback from homes, let's say, and then 1,000 foot setback from these booty wells, there's many locations that otherwise can't be developed, and therefore minerals don't get developed. So in the proposed regulations, unless they're changed before they're voted on by the Adams County Board of County Commissioners, there's really no guaranteed waiver that an oil and gas operator such as Great Western can be able to locate their oil and gas facility within that 2,000 feet or within 1,000 feet. An operator can go seek a waiver from each and every primary resident and property owner located within that 2,000-foot setback. But if that operator does not have 100% of those waivers from the people within 2,000 feet, then that location is otherwise prohibited from being developed in Adams County. A waiver can also be granted by the Board of County Commissioners, but this is also not a guaranteed waiver. That waiver would occur if you had a public hearing and the Adams County Board of County Commissioners determined that the facility would provide substantially equivalent protections, basically saying if you can provide best management practices and mitigation measures that meet or exceed our regulations, then we as the board can say those are substantially equivalent, and therefore you can have your location within 2,000 feet. Personally, we think that's probably few and far between as to how that will occur to have those granted, but it's also not a guaranteed waiver. So when you look at the waiver criteria that's proposed by Adams County right now, if there's no waiver, there's no development within that 2,000 feet. And that means that those mineral interest owners that you've worked so hard to acquire will otherwise be undeveloped. Next slide, please. A few other provisions that we wanted to mention to you tonight about the Adams County proposed regulations do specifically impact mineral interest owners, some on an active impact and some on an omission in the regulations as proposed. The first one of which is that an operator has to conduct an alternative site analysis as part of its oil and gas facility permit for Adams County. Part of this analysis requires the operator to require justification for three potential sites and also a description of whether, and this I quote this from the proposed regs, mineral extraction is possible and reasonable for those sites. So while Adams County has stated we don't truly regulate subsurface mineral interest, subsurface mineral interest and extraction is one of the criteria that has to be looked at for alternative locations. And so if that mineral extraction isn't possible or isn't reasonable because there's a 2,000-foot setback in place, that's highly concerning. Or if it is possible from a site within 2,000 feet, but not possible from a site outside of 2,000 feet, that's also concerning. And what this does is that truly binds the mineral interest into being undeveloped, because if the operator cannot get the site it needs for purposes of necessary development, then those minerals will again go otherwise undeveloped. The other concern are the notice and the meetings. Nowhere in the Adams County regulations does it require notice of neighborhood meetings or notice of an oil and gas facilities permit to mineral interest owners. This is concerning because even though most of our laws in the last couple of years in Colorado focus on surface impacts and surface disturbance, that surface disturbance extrapolates to impacts on mineral interests when those interests otherwise can't be developed. And that's highly concerning. And at this point in time, it's frankly being ignored by Adams County. The last two concerns, and then we can kind of turn to Matt and the fireside chat piece, but is the Adams County proposed oil and gas regulations are only allowing for a three-year term on permits. The three-year term is concurrent with the state permit. The state allows for three-year terms as well, but the state can allow for extensions if filed at the appropriate time. In Adams County, there is no extension. And so that operator has to start that permit process again every 3 years, even if it hasn't reached completions of a well, meaning it's spud and drilled a well, but it hasn't fully completed it to get to the next stage of production. That's a problem as well, because you never want an operator to have to stop its completions, number one, because of a permit termination, but there's no guarantee that that secondary permit would be approved, which could also impact mineral interest development in the future. And then the last one is this noise, what Adams County is calling pseudo setbacks. And so there is a mandate, and from our understanding, there's no waiver to this, a mandate that oil and gas facilities located within 2,000 feet of a land use or zoning designation boundary, that operator has to comply with the lowest maximum permissible noise level from that adjacent land and that zoning of that land. We could talk about zoning and noise all night, but to make it very simple, what this does is it acts as a pseudo setback. And that means that if an operator cannot meet the noise restrictions for the adjacent land that's within 2,000 feet of its location, it can't develop there. So I know that Susan probably has a question here. She's come back on screen, but we wanted to provide you with that background for Adams County as we start talking a little bit more with Matt and what some of your rights are, how they're impacted by the regulations I just talked about, and what you can potentially do to protect your assets. Okay, Susan, thank you.
Jamie, thank you so much for that setup. And you know, for the folks who are watching, please understand we tried to make the background as brief as possible, but these rules are very comprehensive. And what we tried to do is really highlight what we thought was most impactful to your interests. And just a quick reminder, please drop a note into that Q&A section at the bottom. Just click there and type in your note, and I'll make sure that either Jamie or Matt gets a chance to see it. And Jamie, maybe before we hop into the chat between you and Matt, you guys both might want to just take a few minutes and introduce yourself and talk about your credentials and your background. I apologize. I kind of gleaned over that real quickly and took that into my own hands. So if you want to do that for a few seconds and then kick us off into the conversation, that would be great.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Well, again, I'm Jamie Jost. I am the founder and managing shareholder of Jost Energy Law. I've been a lawyer in the regulatory field working with oil and gas operators since 2002 in Wyoming, New Mexico, and predominantly Colorado. I've had the benefit and privilege of working with Great Western for almost 10 years at this point, and feel like we've walked through a lot hand in hand in Adams County, and we continue to walk through hand in hand in Adams County. But my background, specifically, I grew up in Indiana as a farm girl. I went and received my undergraduate degree in environmental science and industrial hygiene. I moved to Wyoming in 1998 and got my law degree with an emphasis on natural resources law from the University of Wyoming in Laramie. And I started right out of the gate working on oil and gas conservation, permitting, and regulatory matters for operators in the Rocky Mountain region. I would say since about 2012, when a lot of the local governments really started putting oil and gas regulations in place, a predominant focus of my practice specifically is local government work, working with those local governments to ensure that regulations are stringent, but also reasonable and necessary to allow for development. And we've continued to do that over the last 10 years and have a feeling we'll continue to do that in the future. But we, like I said, we work with operators, Great Western quite a bit, for purposes of ensuring responsible and efficient and safe production occurs. And that when instances come up, like in Adams County right now, that everyone knows what their what the impacts could be from these regulations, from the operator, mineral interest owner, royalty owner, surface owner aspect, and really putting that in the context of providing thoughtful and meaningful comment to these local governments to ensure that they are hearing from all their constituents and not their constituents that scream the loudest. And so, Susan, maybe I'll kind of stop there, but hopefully that's the background you're looking for, and I'll turn it over to Matt.
Sounds good. Thank you, Jamie, and thank you, Susan, for having me tonight. You know, excited about this session and, you know, concerned at the same time. You know, I think that, you know, today's discussion, I think, fits very well with the work that I've been doing over the past several years. A little bit about myself before we dive in, though. So I've got a background in oil and gas. I've been in the industry for, I guess, now over 20 years. Graduated from the Colorado School of Mines in 1999. With an engineering degree, and went to work for Shell right out of school, and did a lot of engineering roles and management roles and sort of jack of all trades. And in 2015, when I left Shell, I went off on my own and started a company to both invest in minerals and royalties, as well as help other mineral and royalty owners understand what they own. And so our specialty is providing valuation services and appraisals for minerals and royalties. And I started a podcast about 3 years ago as I was getting into the minerals and royalty space, because as I was looking for information to help inform our investment decisions and just help my general knowledge of the minerals and royalty side of things, because I had a very broad and understanding of oil and gas because I've worked in the industry, but mineral rights and royalties is a very specific part of the industry. So as I was looking for that information, I couldn't find it. So decided to start a podcast to help educate other mineral and royalty owners. And so we're just about 3 years in, a little bit over 100 episodes, spanning issues like this, like we're going to talk about today, as well as kind of latest current events and news, as well as interviews with other experts in the industry. So excited to be here. Also the president of the Colorado chapter of the National Association of Royalty Owners, which is a member-based 501c6 education and advocacy organization that's nationally organized, but then we have chapters in most states and regions that have oil and gas production. And so our real purpose is to help advocate on behalf of mineral owners like yourselves, as well as to provide education and to empowerment so that we have a collective voice, because there are millions of mineral and royalty owners across the country, but just because it's maybe not as visible as the surface interest owners, we seem to get overlooked a lot. So NARO exists basically to help correct that and to help provide a voice for all of us that own mineral rights and royalties. And you know, near the end, we'll dive into the conversation, but at the end, I'll go through some of the resources that we have available for mineral and royalty owners and some of the things coming up, so.
Great, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you both. Jamie, I'll go ahead and turn over to you. I know you guys have some thoughts and comments prepared, so. Again, just a quick reminder, if you all have questions out there, please submit them into the Q&A. I'll be monitoring that. And thank you both again.
Yeah, you're welcome. And what might be helpful, if you don't mind, if we can stop screen sharing the PowerPoint for a minute, and that way we can kind of focus on the chat piece. And maybe, Matt, I'll start by tossing a question to you to really just kind of open up the conversation. And I know you touched on it a little bit, but can you please provide our participants with your thoughts on how mineral interest owner rights or concerns are seemingly overlooked in the local government and sometimes the state as well, but specifically tonight, the local government permitting process?
Yeah, and you alluded to this earlier, Jamie, that I think for whatever reason, when you know, counties and or the COGCC looks to get comments from the public and interested parties, it's generally the impacted surface owners. And usually, you know, for unfortunately, mineral interest owners don't have a seat at the table. And, you know, the interesting thing about that, in my opinion, you know, while I'm not an attorney, my understanding is that the mineral estate is the dominant estate, but yet in these types of important decisions related to the development of our mineral interests, we're somehow overlooked, which I think is really needs to change, because you're having people that do not have a vested interest in the outcome of the activity that they're having a say on, other than maybe they don't want it to happen just from maybe moral reasons or principal reasons, other than that it's not, they don't have skin in the game, so to speak. In some cases, maybe they're just in the county and they just don't want oil and gas. They just want to have it be like it was, you know, 60, 70 years ago or something like that. I'm not really sure what the reasoning is sometimes, but to answer the question, I think it really is something that is overlooked and it needs to change. And I think that's why we're so passionate at NARO and this particular issue, because I see this as a, you know, as Senate Bill 181 has allowed these local governments to come up with regulations within their jurisdiction, this is a an example that other counties could potentially go by when they go to look to develop their local requirements. And so if we don't act now and don't let our voice be heard, then there's a good chance that some of the rules and regulations that are set by Adams County could become precedents for other counties to follow, and it could further limit mineral development in other areas as well.
Well, and Matt, I appreciate that. I think you bring up a lot of really good points. Maybe just real quick for those who are attending, Senate Bill 19-181, what it did, if you're not familiar with it, is it basically said the state has jurisdiction to still provide permitting for oil and gas operations, surface and subsurface, but the local governments where an oil and gas location is sited and or located has jurisdiction to address and put regulations in place to address the surface siting and surface impacts of that location. So Matt, I think your point is very well taken, because one of the things that I view in my role working with operators specifically is, you know, I kind of hate to say it this way, but a lot of times local governments get tired of hearing from operators. They get tired of hearing from operators about what's going to happen to development. And this is where I think from Great Western's perspective and really just as an attorney who works with various operators, mineral interest owners' voices are critical right now, because operators can't do this alone. And I think that's something, Matt, that you kind of alluded to, is that what you're seeing is that the mineral interest owners' voices are buried. Mineral interest and interests really aren't kind of taken into account as these regulations occur. And that's why I think tonight is really important for those of you who are participating. And again, thank you for participating in this very important discussion, because it's time. Like mineral interest owners' voices need to be heard, because we've had these regulations come into play over the last 10 years and they continually get more stringent. And unless different voices are heard, the ones that and I won't just pinpoint Adams County, but a lot of local jurisdictions listening to are the ones that are screaming the loudest. And a lot of times those are activist groups or paid national groups to come in and, you know, say, we don't want oil and gas development as a whole, with absolutely no consideration given to the mineral interest owners' rights and the mineral interest owners' interests that will just be left in the ground. So Matt, I think that was a really good response, and thank you. And I didn't mean to kind of go so long, but I think that, you know, from an operator perspective and from your leadership with respect to the mineral interest owners, I think there's a lot of synergies here that, you know, really need to be discussed and brought to light in front of these local governments that they otherwise just don't, I think, really understand. And maybe what we can do now is really just kind of tackle some of the more specific topics. And Matt, when you look at this from a setback perspective, how do you think the proposed setback regulations for Adams County, the 2,000-foot hard setback and a 1,000-foot hard setback from wells with very minimal allowance from waivers, you know, how would you take that as impact to your interest owners within NARO?
It could have a huge impact. the thing that, you know, looking at when the COGCC was developing statewide regulations and the setbacks, you know, at the state level, you know, even though they do have off ramps and waivers in place, it was concerning because that 2,000 foot setback at the state level, when you look at, you know, a map of a section of land, for example, typically you have those subdivided into quarter sections when that was homesteaded. And so in each quarter section, there is occupied structure, a home, you know, a house typically. And if you were to take it by the letter of the law, just the fact that those structures exist, it becomes nearly impossible to site an oil and gas facility that is, you know, further away than 2,000 feet from any occupied structure, just because of those locations of those houses. And we're talking even in a rural setting. Now, when you get into Adams County, which is a lot more, you know, heavily populated, it becomes even more of an issue because, you know, when you look at the map and you look at the location of any structures that you're then trying to draw a line to try to find a suitable surface location to build a well pad, it becomes nearly impossible. And so what ends up happening, unfortunately, is that even though, you know, in cases, whether it's rural, as in the case that I gave a previous example, or in the case of Adams County, when you have a subdivision or something like that, it becomes very difficult to site these locations. And so if you're a mineral interest owner, even in an area that is not necessarily heavily populated, you could end up having a stranded asset, you know, a resource that can't be developed just because of the way these regulations are worded. Now, we're waiting to see how the COGCC actually implements that waiver process. And if they are going to be issuing waivers, I think it's still early days, but the concern is that if they don't, then you have these properties that had the perspective of having a significant amount of value associated with them. And I'm referring to mineral interests specifically, that then become virtually worthless. Because when you look at the time value of money, and the biggest driver is development timing. And if you're pushing that out to, you know, infinity to never, then the value of those mineral interests go to zero. And so, and you know, this is potentially an asset that we could hand down to our kids and to our grandkids, and it could set up, you know, a legacy for some families, and we're potentially taking that away. So that, in my, you know, as these regulations have developed, has been the biggest concern for me.
And I appreciate that thought and that discussion, Matt, because something you just said kind of just triggered with respect to the time value of money and delay. When you look at the history of Adams County and the adoption of their regulations, I guess numerous years ago now, but from Senate Bill 19-181 and the moratoriums put in place by Adams County, you're already, you know, if you're a mineral interest owner in a unit that has been permitted before 19-181 was enacted in 2019, you've now sat through the new regulations from the state, you have additional delays, your time value of money has already significantly decreased just because of legal and moratoria actions, correct?
Correct. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And I think that's just, you know, one of the things that's really important here, because these regulations, they're not new for purposes of Adams County. They are continuing the regime of regulations in Adams County, but that doesn't mean development has been occurring since regulations have been adopted. Development has been occurring to some extent, but likely not at the pace that it could have been occurring had we not had all these regulatory and administrative and really legislative hurdles as well. So Matt, I think one of the other things that you said maybe leads us into one of my next questions. I can't remember exactly how you phrased it, but it really came listening to you talk about mineral interest owners' interests and rights and how they're affected, but how do mineral interest owners know they're being affected, right? So with the new proposed regulations, there is no notice to mineral interest owners and no notice to those mineral interest owners about neighborhood meetings, yet mineral extraction has to be viewed when an operator is looking at a location. What advice would you give to our listeners to, you know, make their voices heard or have their voices heard when the regulations don't otherwise even consider their voices in that development?
That's a great question, Jamie. And I would say that to start with, we have a unique opportunity right now to make our voices be heard and to be of, part of the public record for these regulations as they're being developed. So within NARA, we've set up a website that you can go and email the Adams County commissioners and staff with just a couple of mouse clicks, and you can add your own comments to these emails about how these proposed regulations are going to impact you personally. To your earlier point, a lot of times we just have it, state level hearings and so forth, where just it's operators and then potentially environmental activists that are there, and we don't have a lot of mineral interest centers that are represented. This is our opportunity to speak up. And so, within this public comment period, which is really important, if you have the opportunity, if you're watching us live and you haven't already, tonight or tomorrow, if you could email the county commissioners while that public comment is open. And even if you catch it after the 9th of June, when that closes, we have some time, until they have some hearings, and we have the ability to go and have our voices be heard there as well. And I think it certainly is not going to hurt to continue to email them and to let them know that, hey, we're here, and we'd like our voice to be heard. We have, according to the law, as much, if not more, potentially at stake here in these decisions. And so, you need to consider our voice as well. So that would be the first thing. I think probably the biggest message that I'd like people to leave tonight with is to notify and to contact the Adams County commissioners. Let them know, how this is going to impact you. It's not just Great Western, or it's not just the surface owners that are potentially impacted. It is going to impact mineral interest owners as well. So that's probably the first step.
Thanks, Matt. I just wanted to toss in real quick for those folks who may have just joined us. We will be putting on the screen before, as Matt and Jamie wrap up their conversation, we'll put on the screen some important dates that are upcoming with regards to the implementation of these new rules and future opportunities for discussion, as well as contact information for the Adams County commissioners, the folks at Adams County staff, and of course, ways to get in touch with Matt and NARA if you would like to get more involved in future discussions around mineral ownership. So with that, I'll just remind folks to drop a question in the Q&A, and then I'll hand it back to Jamie and Matt. Thanks, guys.
Great, thank you, Susan. And Matt, thank you. I really appreciate that. And I hope that our listeners really appreciate the information. And as Susan said, we'll put some information up. One of my biggest concerns at the end of the day, if all the regulations are adopted as proposed, is what happens? Like, what happens if we can't get to development of mineral interests in Adams County, or very limited development? My concern is that, and I will say this from personal background as a farmer, I am a mineral interest owner, I am a real estate owner, and I run a business. So, I kind of just personally hit all these four points that I am bound and determined as part of my career to protect. And my biggest concern is impact on real property rights. So, Matt, I would really love your take on, if there's no development in Adams County, you as, the president of NARA from the Colorado chapter, what happens? Like, what's your take on that?
Well, so I'll give you the NARA perspective, then I'll give you my personal perspective. So I think the NARA perspective, if I were to be speaking on behalf of the organization, I think we would, have serious concerns about that. Our whole mission as an organization is to help, act on behalf of mineral interest owners across the country. And so, we would be compelled, I think, to look at our options and how do we best serve our membership in terms of, protecting their rights. And so, I don't know what that would look like. I think it'd be too early to talk about specific actions, but we would be looking at all the different options. What are the ways that we can work together to protect those rights, if they're taken away? Me personally, within my company and within my family, we would look at, okay, somebody has taken my property, you know, I haven't gotten compensated for it. How do I go get compensation? How do I pursue that? And, you know, obviously one action is you want to let them know first, here's the damages that this has caused, you know, please, you know, how are you going to make me whole? And if that, you know, contacting and that dialogue doesn't yield the result that you're looking at, then you would contact an attorney and say, okay, well, what are my options? You know, how do I protect this real property that I own that has now been, you know, had a certain value earlier based on the anticipation, you know, and obviously there's no guarantees when you buy mineral interests. You have no, you know, guarantee that development's going to occur within a certain time frame, but you have the opportunity for that to happen. And certain things you can anticipate, you know, that, okay, well, if I'm in this area and I have permitted wells on my property, there's a good chance that the next 3 years that a well is likely to get drilled. It may not, mm-hmm. It may, you know, maybe later, but if it were to happen within 3 years, there's a certain value associated with that, right? If, you know, maybe a well is drilled in 5 years, within the 5 years, maybe if an operator is booking that as proved reserves, they're looking at, we're going to have some sort of development path to develop that acreage within 5 years. And then there's things further out there. And I would say that if you're in an area where you had the anticipation of a well getting drilled within 3 years or 5 years, there's a certain value associated with that. And then if now it's likely to never occur, well, then those are your damages potentially. And, you know, just talking, you know, here in this forum, not as a legal advice or not as, you know, financial advice, but just saying in general, that would be the level of what I would look for as a mineral interest owner of the compensation for that piece of property. So, you know, certainly you'd want to exhaust every other option before that is a potential discussion point. And I don't think, you know, I'm hopeful that we can have a dialogue with the powers that be to help ensure that mineral interest owners are, you know, do have a seat at the table and that our voices are heard and that it doesn't take just one surface owner, maybe a tenant, not even a person that owns the surface rights, but a tenant, which even has less of a potential, you know, skin in the game, so to speak, in the whole conversation around what should happen with that piece of property. So to me, it starts with a dialogue, making sure mineral interest owners have a seat at the table, that we have a vote in that discussion. And then, you know, I'm all for having regulations that ensure that there's responsible energy development. As a native Coloradan, and you know, my kids are you know, I want them to grow up in a Colorado with clean air and clean water, and all that is very possible. It's, you know, having responsible oil and gas development coexisting with you know, people living, you know, in nearby and recreating and living in this beautiful state that we live in. So there's no reason we can't all exist together and find a way to work together to make that happen. So.
Yeah. Well, and thank you. I appreciate all those comments and I fully agree with you. I think one of the things for maybe our listeners is, you know, one of the takeaways before you have to even get to a point where you have to question about whether or not your mineral interests will be developed is to have those strengthened numbers, you know, come together now and really talk to Adams County. Like you said, this might be a nice segue into how they can publicly comment and get to some of the other information. But to truly make that voice heard, because one of the other things you said that really piqued my interest was the valuation. This has nothing to do with like a taking or a compensation from like a regulatory aspect. But if someone wanted to sell their minerals and say, we, you know, we're kind of up and out, or sometimes you sell minerals off because you need money to do whatever, that valuation is likely already decreased, if not continually decreasing because of these regulations. And I think that's something that could be very important to mineral interest owners. Even if development can occur, the valuation of those minerals may have been lost because of the time value of money or significantly reduced, which, you know, harms their family and their grandkids and frankly, some of the economy as well, in Adams County specifically. So Susan, and thank you, Matt, for that. This might be a really good place to put up the slide of what's next in Adams County, and then I can turn it specifically back to you and Matt to kind of walk through the outreach, both from the narrow perspective. Matt, maybe you can mention that again, and Susan, from the perspective of everyone and their brother kind of in Adams County that someone could reach out to truly make their voice heard. And I'll just kind of touch on this slide that's on the screen, but the importance of the timing of this forum before tomorrow is because public comments are due tomorrow. And as Matt said, just because the public comments are due tomorrow, that doesn't mean you can't submit something to the commissioners or to certain folks over at Adams County to voice your concerns. But Adams County's current schedule is looking to send final revisions of the draft regulations at the end of June, but then to also have two public hearings, one of which is on July 8th, which is a Planning Commission public hearing, and the second one of which is on July 27th, which is the Adams County Board of County Commissioners public hearing, which is the final vote. So if you are so inclined to come out in public and stand up in front of the Planning Commission and the board to make your voices heard from you and telling your story and why it's so important, there are two main chances to provide that public comment to the people who are going to have to look you in the eye and really understand what your concerns are. They likely won't say anything back. It's not an engaging conversation like a back and forth. But the Board of County Commissioners, those are folks that you voted for, and they should hear from the constituents that have concerns that are otherwise being overlooked. And so next slide, please. And so Susan and Matt, maybe I will go ahead and just turn it back over to you for purposes of how can your voice be heard in the outreach. Matt, you may want to take kind of the first Board of County Commissioners directly, because I know you've mentioned that before, and maybe just kind of walk our viewers through.
Sure. And I'm going to drop a link in the chat for everybody that is here that will take you directly to a website that will allow you to email the Board of County Commissioners directly, as well as Greg Dean, the Adams County Oil and Gas Liaison. So we've tried to make this as simple as possible. It's a it is a form letter, so you know, read through it. It's just really talks through the points that we've talked about tonight, and that you're expressing your concern with the proposed amendments, that you support developing minerals responsibly in compliance with regulations, and you know, to consider the rights of the mineral interest owners in the process. We just want to be involved. You know, I think that, you know, we need to have some mechanism for, you know, mineral interest owners as well as surface owners to have a seat at the table in this discussion, that not just a single surface owner has veto power over thousands of mineral interest acres that, you know, being developed. So I think that's very important, and that needs to change. And so that's the gist of the letter. So you can send that letter to those folks. It's very easy. Again, you can just click that link. And then for those of you that are watching this offline, we'll make sure to have the link available if you can't access it through this recording, if you're listening to just the audio portion, or if you're, you know, doing this later. So we'll have either, if you're listening to this on the Mineral Rights Podcast in the show notes for this episode, you can click the link there and or via Great Western or other locations where you're viewing this or listening to it. So.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Matt. I think I'll just maybe highlight the differences of some of these contacts. So obviously the county commissioners are elected officials to represent all stakeholders in Adams County and constituents such as yourself. And I think it's important, if you don't know what district you're in, really all of them are elected at large. You can email all or one. You can also find a map of their districts on their website, which is adcogov.org. But they're the folks who are going to be voting on these rules that are put forth by the staff of the Adams County Community and Economic Development Group. The next person on there is Greg Dean. He is the Adams County Oil and Gas Liaison. That is a role that was implemented in the state of Colorado statewide. And so counties that have oil and gas development and activity have a liaison that is there as a resource, both to staff and to the commissioners, but also to the citizens and the members of the community who have questions, either about oil and gas development, have questions about the rules. So if you have more tactical questions, you know, how do I sign up for public comment? Where can I get a copy of the rules? What were those dates again? You can email Greg and he can help you out with that. Or if you just have questions about where is the activity or where you can learn more information, Greg can get you pointed in the right direction. As I mentioned, it is the Adams County Community and Economic Development Group that is helping to craft these rules. Ryan McNulty is the interim director of that group. His email is there. We really just want to provide you all with as many contacts as possible so you can reach out to the right person for your appropriate resources. And the ways you can get involved are very and really accessible. You can head down to the Adams County offices. You can show up in person. You can sign up to speak at one of the public hearings or study sessions. You can discuss and share these impacts on your real property rights. I think it's really, really important that people get a little intimidated when they're working with their county officials sometimes. And I think it's really important to reiterate that this is your story and this is an impact on your life. And just be very honest and share with these folks what it means to you as a resident or a member of the Adams County community. As Matt mentioned, there's a lot of links down there with regards to NARO. He included one in the chat, and we'll be happy to send this presentation out so you can click on these links and have access to them after the fact. And then we would love for you to engage in further communications with us here at Great Western. We really see ourselves today as not telling you how to think about these rules, but really getting you access and information to help you make an educated decision about policy that may have a real impact on you and your family's future. So you can always email us at community@gwp.com or visit our website at www.gwp.com. You can always sign up for our monthly stakeholder newsletter that usually comes out at the end of the month. We've been communicating with folks for a few months now about these updates and the rules via that. And in that newsletter, you can just kind of stay on top of what we're doing here at Great Western. We like to announce new projects on that newsletter. We also announce community projects where we're out doing volunteerism and just help you stay informed about what the oil and gas industry is doing. We've also been including some technology updates about things like air emissions monitoring. So just a great way to stay in touch if you've got more interest or want to learn more about what's happening in the oil and gas industry and where your energy is coming from. We're always here and would love to connect with our folks out in the community. If we could go to the next slide, please. That's kind of it. That's what we have for today's. It's funny to call it a fireside chat when it was almost 90 today. But really, really, I want to express my gratitude to everybody who showed up this evening. It's really great to have your interest and to have your participation. If you have any questions, please go ahead and type them in that Q&A box. We would love to give you access to Matt and Jamie while they've got them live here and in person. We will make this recording available and we will include it in future emails out to folks. So, you know, if you have questions after the fact, I know for me, it's usually 10 minutes later that I think of the perfect thing to say, or I have a question that I wished I'd asked. Please feel free to email us again, community@gwp.com, or reach out to our website. We've got places where you can sign up for a newsletter there, but we would love to stay connected. And so I just like to remind people, we are Coloradans. We're really committed and dedicated to this beautiful state. And thank you all for your time and attention. Matt, Jamie, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and thoughts and giving us the time. I'll leave it to you for a few closing comments and then we'll let everybody get on with their evenings.
I'm happy to dive in, Matt. Well, Susan and Great Western and Matt, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, to talk to the viewers and the people who participated, and really just say thank you. Thank you for putting this forum on, and thank you for being committed to Colorado.
Yeah, I'd like to echo those same comments. Thanks, Jamie. Exciting and interesting dialogue. And thanks, Susan, for setting this up and for the invitation and for giving us a voice, you know, as mineral owners. So I think it's great to have an operator like Great Western that wants to partner with their mineral interest donors to make sure they have a seat at the table. So we appreciate that. And on behalf of NARO, I thank you for the invitation. And Just, you know, if anybody has questions, you know, wants to learn more about their mineral interest, you know, and just wants to continue that education journey, you can find out more about us at NARO, so that's NARO-US.org. And again, we have the link for this specific campaign and for writing to your county commissioners. But then, you know, keep us in mind if you have questions about your mineral interests and want to learn more. We have events, we have webinars throughout the year. We have conventions, both state and then national. We have the Colorado Convention is going to be held virtually. You can sign up from that at that NARO website that I mentioned there. So look forward to helping you out.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again, Jamie. Thank you, Matt. And thank you to all of you who showed up and spent some time of your evening with us. We hope you have a great evening and we look forward to hearing from you soon. And have a great evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to the Mineral Rights Podcast with your host, Matt Sands. Don't forget to subscribe and share at mineralrightspodcast.com. The Mineral Rights Podcast should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy.